Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. He will take you through the fire again. If you have your Bibles for a few moments today, turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. It's in the context of the last days, actually, and the pressures and perils of the last day, when the Bible teaches us to be not drunk with wine, wherein is increased, but be filled with the Spirit, or literally in the Greek, be being filled with the Spirit. This is a time that we are in desperate need of the Holy Spirit. If people that are praying to God for help and for strength are not open to receiving the Holy Spirit, how can God help us and give us strength? For the Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete in Greek, and it means one called alongside to help. Can you say amen? And you shall receive power, dunamis, miracle-working ability after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This great need today for strength to bear up under the burdens and bear up under the circumstances of living in faulty bodies in a fallen world. In the end times, on top of that, in the last days, the Spirit of God said perilous times would come. That word perilous literally means outrageous. Troublesome times when the whole world is in chaos and peril. And it connotates, that very scripture connotates, the reducing of the strength. The reducing of the strength. Everybody is feeling the pressure of it. A little girl listening to one of the politicians thinking about running for presidency on the Republican side. She was listening to him speak to a group of people. And this little girl, I think she's maybe 4 or 5 years old, she just blurted out, like kids do in an audience like that. She just blurted out, "Is the world on fire?" That's amazing for a 4 or 5 year old. Hearing someone addressing the conditions around the world. This happened about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And this little girl, and you think children that young don't have any way to conceptualize what is going on around the world, but just hearing him talk about it and what little she'd gleaned from probably listening to the news as her parents heard it. 5-year-old girl shouldn't be wondering, is the world on fire? They had it on the news broadcast. The chaos that is in the world, it's a global thing. It's worldwide. So this reducing of the strength, that's always Satan's plan and purpose. He uses many different ways to try to do that. The Bible said that in the book of Revelation that he would seek during that time when the Antichrist is in power to wear down and wear out the saints of the Most High. That constant pressure, the constant persecution, the constant chaos, it'll wear on you. It wears on me. We're living in a troubled time, and stress is at an all-time high, and kids are feeling it today. Children are experiencing it today. And a 5-year-old girl who should not be concerned about these worldwide events asks, "Is the world on fire?" That's an incredible thing. It's an incredible thing. And how we need God's strength in a time such as this. We need more. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. And I'm not just talking about an alcoholic beverage here. Jesus said to beware lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. That day come upon you as a thief. For as a snare, as a trap that is suddenly released, it shall come upon all the inhabitants of the earth. No one will escape. No one will escape. So he said to his people, beware, lest your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Surfeiting means banqueting. Now, he doesn't mean don't go to the Golden Corral after church. Amen? And he doesn't mean don't get a second helping. That's why you went to the Golden Corral. Can I get an amen from the loudest laughing one?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about drunkenness, drinking alcohol to the place of inebriation. We shouldn't do that. And he speaks against that in other places. But listen, he's talking about a spiritual condition. For Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh. The conditions that were there in Noah's day will be replicated just before he comes in our day. Jesus said, I like to quote what he said because this is not what anyone else is surmising. This is what he directly, distinctly said. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh. And what did he say about both of those days? They ate, they drank, don't we all? They married, they gave in marriage, they built it, don't we all? Is any of that sin in and of itself? No. But when you eat and drink, live just to eat and drink and marry and build to the exclusion of God. That we spend all of our time, our focus, and our energy on ourselves. One of the reasons that we go to listen to a lot of teachings on faith and we don't understand why prayers are not answered. There's two reasons according to the book of James. It gets real simple. You have not because you ask not. That means you don't make God your source. You don't go to him after everything else has failed. You go to him first. Amen? That's like I used to go to the hospital. I would pray for someone. I'd see someone else. Many times I'd go over and say, would you like me to pray for you? Sometimes there was an openness. Sometimes there wasn't. But here's what I heard more times than not. Go ahead. It couldn't hurt. And I prayed, but I didn't believe much was going to occur because that is not the attitude to go before God with. Can you say, man? I mean, I'm not rude or crude because I could have said, well, if that's the attitude, there's no point in us praying. Even though in my heart I knew, if that's the attitude, there's no point. Prayer is not some superstitious thing that go ahead, my trust is in the doctors and the hospital, but I'll throw a prayer in there. It couldn't hurt. No, you can't come to God and put him first that way. Can you say amen? Amen. And here's the second reason, is to consume it on yourself. You ask, you use faith. You have not because you ask not, the book of James said, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it on yourself, or literally in the Greek, on your own selfish desires. If your prayer life consists of, my name is Jimmy, I want all your gimme, then I don't think you could expect very much. Can you say amen? Amen. But if your prayer life is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hallelujah. Before you pray anything else, then the door is open to the throne room of God. Can you say amen? When his will becomes that important to you and his kingdom becomes that important to you. And the great thing is, when you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things, your Father knows what you have need of. And the Bible said when you put the kingdom first, all these things shall be added to you. You get that as a bonus. Can you say amen? Amen. Everything else you need will be added to you when God is first in your life. And his kingdom is your primary concern. Listen to me carefully today. So many people are just seeking the stuff. So Jesus said, beware. Beware lest your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, the cares of this life. So what happened in the days of Lot? What happened in the days of Noah? Judgment is looming. Prophets are speaking. People are bringing the message of repentance. I found out something about Noah. He wasn't just an ark builder. He wasn't just an ark builder. Hebrews 11 gives us more light on him. It said, now Noah, a preacher of righteousness. He didn't just build an ark for all of those years. He preached repentance and a judgment that was coming. And no one listened. But he and his family were delivered. Can you say, man? A preacher of righteousness. When Jesus comes, he has a predecessor with the same message. John the Baptist. What does he preach? Jesus is coming to give you riches and wealth and everything that you want. Kind of like a Kris Kringle coming from the skies. No, make the crooked path straight. And prepare ye the way of the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. He was a preacher of righteousness. Praise God. In righteousness thou shalt be established, the Bible said. Hallelujah. And when you're established in righteousness, which means right wise with God. If you're right with God, you don't have to fear anything or anyone. Because if God be for you, and that's the supreme issue of your life, my life here today. It's not having this whole crowd with me, trying to get everybody to embrace me and love me. It's making sure I'm pleasing God. If I please God, I guarantee I won't please some of you. I'll preach something that bugs you, that bothers you. And you'll say he's too loud, he's too long, and he's meddling. Well, I'm not meddling. I don't know. I didn't know what I was going to preach till I started preaching. I thought I knew what I was going to preach. In fact, I've got an outline. And we're told in Bible schools, if you don't want to get in trouble, make an outline and stick with it. Well, that's okay if you don't depend on the Holy Spirit. But if you're dependent on the Holy Spirit, you can't stick with your outline. Because if there's sin, he's going to put his finger on it. If there's rebellion, he's going to put his finger on it. Amen. If there's deception, he's going to expose it. He's the Spirit of truth. Amen. Somebody comes into service and they're practicing witchcraft on the side, he's going to put his finger on it. So the message is going to change. I'm always astounded at the preachers today that go forth and say, God has called me to just preach faith. I thought, there's nobody called to just preach faith. If you're a God-called preacher, you're called to preach the Word of God. And not just any word, but the word that is specific to that audience. That's why in the seven churches of Asia, Jesus told John to write a letter from Jesus to them. And every church got a different letter dealing with a different thing. So if you went down and preached how to get rich serving God at a church where Jesus said, because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but I say unto you, what was his message to the richest church in town? That we now surmise must be the most spiritual and the one that God is blessing the most. What did he say to Laodicea? What was his message? Did anybody know? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. Amen. But because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Thou sayest, I am rich. I'm increased with goods. Look at God's blessing. It's all material. Every bit of it is stone, steeple, stained glass, gold, and silver. But I say unto you, you're poor. What? You're poor? You've got all this stuff. You've got all this wealth. But I say unto you, you're poor. You're miserable. What? I just flew in on my personal jet. Don't call me miserable. I just got my third diamond-encrusted Rolex. Don't tell me I'm not blessed of the Lord. Your blessings better exceed that Rolex and that jet plane. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? You're blind. You're blind. And you're naked. You're not right with me. You don't have on the robe of righteousness. You've got an Armani suit, but it don't cover your nakedness in my eyes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I counsel you, buy of me gold tried in the fire that you might be rich. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Amen. And clothe yourself in white raiment so that this is the righteousness of the saints in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. So that the shame of your nakedness doth not appear. They had covered themselves with a covering, but not of His Spirit. Not of His Spirit. Not of His Spirit. His message to the church that was being persecuted, particularly in the area of their material possession. And He said, I know your poverty, but you're rich. Isn't that an amazing thing how Jesus assesses things and how man assesses things? They that are of the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. They that are of the flesh, what do they mind? Only the things of the flesh. And that's what they were blind to. This word blind is talking about they didn't see themselves as they truly were, and they didn't see themselves as God saw them. So to the church that's being persecuted, they were in a guild town. Seven churches, it formed a semicircle, the way they went from one to another in the province of Asia. And Jesus said to the church that was being persecuted financially and materially, you couldn't work unless you were part of a trade union. It was called a guild. If you were not part of the carpenter's guild, it didn't, no matter how good you were at construction, you couldn't get a job. And they were persecuting Christians by saying, if you're a Christian, we won't hire you. I'm going to tell you something. The people that have paid a price to serve Jesus are far more dedicated to Him than the people that are just following Him. In fact, He said, you only follow Me for the fish and loaves. When I multiplied the fish and loaves, you were right in line to get your third helping. Can you say amen? But when you're asked to sacrifice something out of devotion to Me, all of that following for the wrong reason comes crashing down. They're dying for Jesus around the world. We're experiencing in a small scale that it may grow to the same as the Holocaust, a Christian Holocaust, many people say. Because Christians are being killed for their faith. As we sit here this morning, Christians are dying simply because they follow Jesus Christ around the world, and particularly in the Middle East. So if gold and silver is your goal, if that's your goal to follow Christ, if that's your reasoning, then you have to join Judas. Because when Judas found out that Jesus wasn't going to take over and lead a rebellion against Rome, and when Judas found out that Jesus was not going to have him as the treasurer part of his cabinet when he came into power, and that he wasn't going to get rich, but in fact he was going to be persecuted for following Jesus, he decided to bail out. He decided it ain't worth it. How many people today would follow Christ if it cost them something? There's a cost to following Christ. He doesn't apologize for it. He's worth it. The kingdom is worth it. Eternal life is worth it. And when people didn't see that, he shook his head and said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Can you say amen? Remember the man that fared sumptuously every day? He was making money hand over fist. He built granaries to hold all his grain, and they filled up, and there was no room to put the grain. He was so prosperous in the material sense. And he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to build bigger granaries. I'm going to tear down the old and build new so I can make even more. And Jesus is watching this, looking at that attitude. And he said, thou fool, this night, tonight, your soul, your eternal, immortal soul that will live somewhere forever, is going to be required of thee. You're going to go to bed tonight with all of these big plans, but God is not in all of your plans. They that would be rich, if that is the goal of your Christian life, that's the goal of your life in general. That's what it's all about. Just Just make me rich, God. I'll be happy if you'll just make me rich. I'll give if you'll make me rich. Doesn't matter if anyone else comes to know you. I'm not invested in souls and eternity and the furthering of your kingdom. It's all about me. They that would be rich, that's the goal, fall into many deceitful lusts, hurtful sins, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Remember the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler? Jesus said, and they've tried to blow this away and say it was some kind of parody. No, it was a story about a specific man. Said there was a rich young ruler and there was a beggar named Lazarus. He wasn't a made-up person. He was a person that Jesus knew. And Lazarus stood outside begging at the rich man's gate. And the rich man didn't want no homeless guy out there asking for money or food. Lazarus' body had sores on them. Moreover, the dogs came and showed compassion. And they licked those sores. And both men died the same day. Both men died the same day. And the Bible said that Lazarus... Now, that doesn't mean you have to become homeless and poor as a, you know. It means that you need the right part. Man at his worst without God is so far better off than man, I mean with God, is so far better off than man at his best without God. That's why the book of Proverbs said, my son, don't let your heart envy sinners. Don't go after them. Do not go after... God has changed my message again. Easter's coming, but God has changed my message again. We're going to close with Psalm 73. Psalm 73. As we warm up to Psalm 73, listen to me carefully. There's a message out there that is drawing people by the score because it doesn't warn about eternity. We've got a preacher out there today that says, I don't talk about sin at all. People are beat down and beleaguered when they come in. I just want to lift them up. Well, the way to lift them up is to get them right with God. And if you don't deal with sin, you'll never be right with God. Because the wages of sin is still death. And the soul that sins, it shall surely die. And Jesus died for the remission of our sins. There's nothing negative about asking, challenging, calling for men and women to repent of their sin and be saved. Can you say amen? Amen? There are people that would not come here to church. They get convicted of sin. And the Bible, that's why, you know why? Not because I'm so hard on it, although I nail it every chance I get, because I want you to live in victory. I'd like to see you not go to jail. I used to preach to people in jail. It ain't fun being in jail. It's no party. Can you say amen? You ever seen the bumper sticker? Heaven don't want me and hell is afraid I'm going to take over. No, when you get to hell, you're going to find out who's in charge and it ain't going to be you. There's going to be no party in hell. Jesus said they both died the same day. They both died the same day. And Lazarus, he didn't have nothing, but he had hope in God. And when he drew his last breath, that's the last time he'll ever go hungry. It's the last time he'll wear some raggedy old coat. It's the last time he'll have a body that is afflicted with anything. Because angels came and ushered him to where Abraham was, Abraham's bosom. People didn't go to heaven until the resurrection. Thank you for the hearty amens. I can see you're paying attention when you don't amen too much. Can you say amen? There's a place that there's no torment and there's only peace called paradise. When the resurrection came, a whole bunch of people in paradise come out of paradise. Amen. And went back home with Jesus. Amen. So after the resurrection, when you die now, to be absent from the body is to not be present with Abraham, but to be present with the Lord. Can you say amen? How do you know Jesus wasn't tormented down in hell and had to be born again? Because he never sinned, my darling. When he took on our sins, it means he was treated as a sinner. And the Bible said of him, God will not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. Can you say, man, how Satan couldn't punish him because there was no sin in him? Because he didn't cease to be God while he hung as a man on that cross. Hallelujah. Amen. But he preached to the souls that were in prison in the sense of being trapped in paradise this side of heaven. But when he came up, they came up with him. And many that had died were seen before when he ascended, they went up with him. But they rose up with Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the rich man, who had no regard for God, self-sufficient, what do I need God for? He died. And in hell, lifted up his eyes. And he looked over and he saw Lazarus in this other compartment called paradise. No torment. Amen. Nothing to hurt. Nothing to harm. All the Old Testament saints were there. He saw Lazarus and said, Lazarus, go and dip your finger in water and come and touch my tongue. He didn't ask for a drink. He did not ask for a drink. He didn't ask for 6 ounces, 5 ounces, or an ounce. He said, where do you hear this preach today? Why is this truth Jesus taught that is so vital being kept over in the corner in pulpits and churches? Because our building fund and keeping people happy and satisfied is more important than their souls to us. The reason I'm hard on these things is that you are going to live forever. Everybody in here, nobody in here. Listen, you're going to experience resurrection even if you die without Jesus. It's not just the righteous that are going to be raised. Amen. Revelation chapter 20, at the great white throne where everyone that's outside of Christ has to stand. Bible said no one can escape it. The sea gave up their dead. That Malaysian airliner, there's hundreds of people still lost somewhere under the water. Their bodies will completely deteriorate. There'll be nothing left but maybe a bone on the bottom. But on that day, they're coming up. They're coming up. There's a resurrection prior to that resurrection, the resurrection of the just. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, at the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel. We which are living, the dead in Christ, doesn't matter if there's some Christians on that plane, they're right. Listen, they're coming up. Amen. The dead in Christ shall rise. We which are living and remain shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Can you say amen? That's the resurrection of the just, and it's called the first resurrection, the first physical, bodily resurrection from the dead. Amen. But there's another resurrection, and it's the resurrection of those that haven't received Christ, that God can't forgive because his offer of forgiveness and his means of forgiveness has been wholesale rejected. Say, Brother Rimmel, I'm not a bad person. That was my wife. I used to try to talk to her about getting saved because I had been saved, fell away from God, and I knew every person needed to be saved. But she didn't see it. She said, I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad person. You don't go to heaven or hell whether you're good or bad. You go to heaven or hell because you haven't accepted Christ. They asked me at work, what are the 7 deadly sins? Because we've come up with gluttony, and we've come up with murder, and we've come up with 7 that'll kill you. They'll all kill you. It's not just 7, there's 7,000, 7 million. We've all sinned. That's all it takes. And come short of the glory of God. It don't mean we almost made it. That word come short means miss the mark. In the actual Greek, it means miss the target. I went with my wife to take some target practice. My grandmother left an old .32 pistol. My wife had a little 9mm, short 9mm target practice. We're target. We got it down in a ditch way out in the country at this other preacher's house. And so a guy loaned, one of the ministers, he loaned my wife this 9mm. And she hit the target. She didn't hit the bullseye, but she hit the target. And I thought, she shot and hit the target way out there. I'm going to shoot and hit the bullseye. I got that little .32. Hadn't been shot in years. And I shot, pow, pow, pow. I thought, boy, I did on. That thing was so hard to pull the trigger, I had to yank the trigger like that. Boy, I started looking for them holes. Boy, I wanted to get in my car and go home. There wasn't a hole nowhere. I didn't hit the target. I didn't hit the bullseye. I didn't hit the I didn't hit the paper. We were shooting down into a ditch with sand behind it. But I couldn't help but look up because they were horses and cows way over yonder. Lord, I hope I didn't shoot nobody's horse or cow out here. I'd go show off. We were, you know, everything was single shot. Try to get one on the target somewhere. I didn't need no single shot. Boy, I was confident. I hadn't shot a gun in years, and this old gun, it hadn't been shot in so long you had to yank the trigger. I was going to do some automatic shooting with a revolver. And I went, bow, bow, bow. That's what it meant. When it said come short, it didn't mean that you didn't get it in the bullseye. It didn't mean that you didn't get it in the rings. It meant you fired. It's actually a term that could be used with archery. You fired at the target, that arrow, but it missed the target altogether. Can you say, man, all? There's no exception. There's none righteous. Why did he say no, not one? Because most people think either they are the one or they know someone who is the one without Jesus. Have you ever heard this? If anybody's going to heaven, he is. If anybody's going to heaven, she is. Because they're so good. They're so perfect. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every soul on this planet needs a Savior. But God provided a Savior for every soul on this planet. That's why when John saw him coming, he didn't say, behold the great Messiah. Behold the great prophet. Behold the great king. He said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. How would he do it? By becoming a sacrifice in our place. How dare they accuse God of needing to get saved? How wrong can we get it? And yet, preachers that stand in pulpits with thousands of people listening to them are buying into that. Jesus didn't have to be tormented by devils because he never sinned. Amen. Jesus did. He was God on the cross. He was God in the grave. He was God when he rose from the grave. He never for 1 minute ceased from being very God and very man. And what he said, he meant. And it was the final word. When his blood was poured out on that cross, he said, tetelestai, which in the Greek means, it's one word, which means accomplished. It is finished. I don't have to do anything else. It's a done deal. Satan's kingdom, amen, has been hit with a shot that he will never recover from. Anyone who wants to go free can go free. Hallelujah. Brother Venable, don't you know Sister So-and-so is so wonderful? And she preaches, listen, I'm not interested in her. I'm interested in him. We can't twist the Bible to come up with something new to make ourselves look better than everybody else. I'm glad what I'm preaching, the apostles preached. I'm glad what I'm preaching, there are people that are not even Pentecostal, but they preach it. I'm glad what I'm preaching will stand up to a Bible scholar. Amen. In a Baptist seminary. Amen. Why? Because it's the truth of God. Can you say amen? You can't just say, come tie my bow tie and claim a revelation that can't be backed up in the Word of God. Amen? It's heresy. God don't need to be saved. Jesus committed no sin. He that knew no sin became sin. That mean he sinned? No. That meant he was treated as if he had sinned. And that's the glory of the gospel. The fact that he didn't deserve anything that he got, so that we could receive everything that he provided. Can you say, man, the just suffered for the unjust, that he might do what? Bridge that gap that sin had created and bring us to God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. 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 Be careful what you follow. Be careful what doctrine you receive. Because we're in the last days. And once you get into a message that is drawing people from material wealth alone and missing the spiritual significance, it's a slippery slope. It goes downhill from there. And all kinds of things begin to enter in because the initial deception has already occurred. They suppose that gain is godliness, the Bible said. From such do what? Turn away. Turn away. Don't walk away from them. Run away. Turn away. So if you're in it to get rich and don't recognize the true riches. Bible said if you don't know the value of money, gold and silver, you don't know how to really appreciate that and use it rightly. How in the world are you going to be entrusted with the true riches? What is true riches? That money can't buy. See, the Bible said you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You were not redeemed with corruptible things. After the tradition of your fathers. In other words, we know how this works. You got to pay for this favor. You got to pay for this. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of a lamb. A lamb, again, without spot or without blemish. Sinless. The sinless Lamb of God, taking the sinner's place on the cross so the sinners like you and me could be saved. I have no problem with having my sins forgiven. I have no problem. If we say we have no sin, it's a lie. Anybody that says that is a liar in God's sight. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all iniquity. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Because when you repent, He restores. And He said, I'll restore unto you the years that the caterpillar, the cankerworm, and the palmer worm have eaten. That's locust in all their stages of life, from the little ones all the way up to the flying ones. They'll devastate a field. They come like a cloud. They blot out the sun and they eat everything down to the ground. And He said, it's not too late. Because if you'll return to me, I will return to you. Can you say amen? And I will restore unto you the years that the caterpillar, cankerworm, palmerworm, and locust has eaten from you. How's he going to do it? He said, in one season, I will give you both the former and the latter rain. Your crops shall be bumper crops. Can you say amen? God's blessing, God's favor, that's the true riches. Having eternal life, that's the true riches. Wow. And when the kingdom is first, he said, I'm going to take care of your personal needs too. I'm going to throw that in as a bonus, but that's not your primary goal. There's a man right now needs $65 million to update his jet plane, get another one. It's in the news. When Christians go after the gold and silver like that, the world takes notice. Because even the world knows. $65 million. With the world dying of hunger, people dying to hear the gospel. Man with 12 airplanes. Churches got together and raised $3 million to give him for his birthday. Just 300 a person out of 3,000 people. There it is. 30,000, well, whatever. It's an incredible day that we're living. And what are people after? Laodicea had it all. In their eyes and the eyes of the people that saw them, they were under God's favor and under God's blessing. But there wasn't a spiritual bone in their body. Their testimony, I'm rich, increased with goods, I don't need anything. They would welcome if you came with a healing ministry, because there's some things money can't buy. They would welcome you if you told them how to get richer. Come on in. But someone is standing at the door that is not welcome with the message he's bringing. Amen. You say, Brother Bumble, when did you go to Laodicea? It wasn't me. It was Christ. This is not the door of the wicked in the world. This is the door of the church with the world in it. What did Jesus say to Laodicea? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with them. And then with me, I offer you fellowship with God. That's what happens when you get right with God. You're reconciled to him. He comes down and fellowships with you. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he lifts you up to fellowship with him in heavenly places. He said, thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, but I say you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire that you might be rich, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you mayeth see. If there's anything that makes God sick, that makes Christ sick, it's using the name of the Lord to go after the things of the world. He said, because thou art, I would that you were hot or cold. Nobody gets to sit on the fence. I would that you were one or the other. If you're cold and backslid and worldly, you can repent, be convicted of your sin, get right with God, and get blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And for a bonus, God will take care of your house, your car, your clothes, and your needs. Amen? I would that you were hot. That word hot with metal means to glow. With water means to boil. You say, oh, I don't understand. Brother Venable's saying to go overboard. I believe in God, but I don't believe in going overboard. Well, this is overboard. Can you say amen? This is overboard. This is off the charts. Hallelujah. Maybe what you've heard about Jesus means that he's not worth it. My Jesus is worth you going overboard, going all out. Can you say amen? Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, John. I won't turn back. When you're serving for the wrong reason, that's why Judas stayed with him for 3 years. When he found out he wasn't going to take over, when he found out Jesus said, I must be given into the hands of men, it clicked. Then there's no point in serving God, no point in following Jesus any further. I want something for my time. I want something for my trouble. Where can I get something out of this? Because I don't see nothing in it for me. The day that he started following him, he was thinking, what's in it for me? Can you say amen? What's in it for me? And there's a message out there addressing that attitude right now. What's in it for me? You can have what I have. You can get what I've got. You can have all of this in heaven too. Scripture said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, mark it down. The love of the Father is not in him. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other. You will hate one and love the other. You can't serve God and mammon. In the Bible, all the world's riches and gain has been given a name, mammon. And it's not the gold. Gold in itself can't do anything. But when it gives you a sense of security instead of God, and it gives you a sense of worth instead of Christ's blood, and it gives you a sense of power because of the influence you now have, amen, then it becomes sin. You didn't come here today expecting me to tell you what you'd like to hear, did you? I thought you came here to hear the truth. I thought you wanted to be free. I thought you wanted God to make some changes and adjustments in your life. Oh, God will bless you. God will bless you. You don't have to go after it. In fact, it's the not going after it, so he knows he can trust you with it, that causes him to bless you. Amen. 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 You know what Abraham said? Abraham said, you know, they're outside of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. The king comes in and takes both kings from Sodom and Gomorrah, two of the richest cities there were. Abraham and his people, they won't even go in there. Lot moved in, but he moved out a little later on. Can you say, man? God brought him out, and he came out. But two kings came. Two kings were kidnapped from that city and held for ransom. And Abraham took a few anointed men and went down there. Can I say kick butt and tuck names? Can you say that in church? Amen. And delivered those two kings with an anointed army. And the kings were so happy, they offered him a king's ransom in a reward. Can you imagine this? He said, no. No, no, you keep it. Lest it be said that man made Abraham rich and not God. Can you say amen? Can you imagine that? He said, God will bless me. He said it to Lot, didn't he? His herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen came in conflict. And Lot looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, the plain in between of them. For it was as Eden. It was so lush. His sheep could grow on that land and flourish, and he could take them in and sell them and barter in the marketplace of the richest cities in that particular area. and he looked towards Sodom. Then he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and it wasn't long before he moved into Sodom. Once you start down that slippery slope, can you say, man, there's where it's going to take you. Sin will take you where you didn't really want to go. It'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay and refuse to let you go when you've had enough. But God will set you free from Satan's prison house if you will let him. Can you say, man? You know what Abraham did? He was the senior guy. He had God's blessing on him. He could have said, no, little brother. That's mine and my herds. He said, you pick which way you want to go. You pick whichever way you want to go. In other words, whichever way I go, God gonna bless me. Can you say amen? I'm not preaching against the blessing. I'm telling you how to get the blessing. You get the blessing by putting the kingdom first, by bowing to no other God, by not having the same value system as the world, so God can trust you with stuff and it won't bring you into bondage and blindness. Hallelujah. If you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all that he commands you this day, these blessings shall come on you and they shall overtake you. Can you say, man, blessed thou shalt be in the city and blessed thou shalt be in Plant City out in the field. Can you say, man, hallelujah. God will find you, send somebody to you. Somehow he'll bless you and you don't have to compromise to be blessed. Woo! Me like a calf at a new gate. Hallelujah. What would Jesus do with $65 million? Why, of course, he'd buy him the top of the line, break the sound barrier. Hey, look at me, Jet. What would he do with $65 million at his disposal? What do you think the Christ of the Bible would do? Sure he would. Why don't we do what he does? We know what he would do. The world knows what he would do. They don't know much about him, but they know he's not like that. They know that much. Other than if I get saved, am I going to become rich? I have no idea. Well, I sure don't want to be like you. Well, I sure don't want to be like you. If you can't see what I got, you're blind, just like Laodicea. If you don't understand what it is to be in the emergency room with a child in crisis and to have God instantly heal that child, when the doctors don't even know what's wrong, but they know it's bad, to be able to call on God and get an answer to prayer. You go ahead. You got your blue cross, your blue shield. Well, when the doctor don't know what to do, it don't matter how much you pay them for not doing it. Can you say amen? But when God, my son that I prayed for in that hospital, he's now 42 years old. I got another one that's 52 years old or going on it. Amen. But the 42-year-old, he was in bad shape when I took him to the hospital. He recovered in the emergency room. Immediate miracle healing. It happened when I gave him to God 100%, called upon the name of the Lord, prayed by Bahosanda da Barata, Keta Namasutianda. I'm so glad the kingdom of God was first in my life. I'm so glad he wasn't in the hands of men alone. I'm so glad for the faithfulness of God and the authority of the name of Jesus. I'm so glad to be a blood-washed daddy. Hallelujah. That's a priest of my home that's been given spiritual authority. Can you say, man, to pray when the crisis comes and when the trouble comes? When the hurricane came to Plant City, the big old grandpa oaks, they got so heavy with the rain and it didn't take much wind. They were tipping over all over the place. One of them sitting right beside my house. Amen. The day before the hurricane coming through, I remember going out. My wife saw me go out and lay hands on that oak tree. Hallelujah. I put my hands on that oak. I said, oak tree, in the name of Jesus Christ, you stand still when the wind comes. You stand still when the gale comes. You stand right there. Don't you fall in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Bimba, who do you think you are? It's not who I think I am. It's who I know He is. Can you say amen? There's power in the name of Jesus. God's blessing makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. The man getting all the money without the kingdom is piercing himself through with many sorrows. God's blessing and God's favor adds no sorrow with it. Whatever He gives you, you can enjoy to the max. Boy, if I sit down, sanctify chicken and dumplings, hallelujah, praise God, I enjoy them to the max. People looking at me without joy. Sunday after Sunday, one day God's going to get a hold of you. One day you're going to get thoroughly right with God and be so happy to be right with Him, you don't feel like anything else is worth worrying about. One day you're going to get it right. Or maybe you won't. It's a choice. The kingdom is always a choice. A choice has to be made. Now, this church that made Jesus sick, Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea, we see the emergence of that same attitude in that same church today. Preacher that had a church of 10,000 went to visit a man who had a church of 30,000. And the preacher with 10,000 said, when I went to visit this guy, because since he had a mega church and this I had a mega, mega, mega church, amen, he said they went in and the man was, he invited them after service to come to his office. Him and three more preachers had went to visit this expanding ministry. He said the man was sitting at his desk, had his feet up on his desk. When those other ministers entered, he looked at them because I'm the man. I'm the man. He said, he looked at him and said, what do you boys want to know? Full of pride and pomp. In other words, what do you want to know from me to help you be like me? See, when it quits being like Jesus and starts being like this person or that person, we got our eyes off the prize. Can you say amen? And Jesus is the prize. And the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who though he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, he made of himself no reputation, but humbled himself and took on himself the form of a servant and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Hallelujah. Therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above, not because he went out to make a name for himself, but because he humbled himself, was obedient unto the death of the cross. God gave him, took on himself the form of a servant. Can you say, man? God gave him a name that's above every name, that at the sound of his name, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah, hallelujah, of things in earth and things in heaven and things beneath the earth. Angels, men and women and devils will bow one day and confess that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the sea gave up their dead and the graves gave up their dead, and the dead, small and great, without respect of persons, stood before the throne of God and the books were opened. And everyone, without exception, whose name was not found in the Lamb's book of life, was cast into the lake of fire with the false prophet and with the devil. You're going to end up with who you have served when this life is over. Make no mistake about it. But it said, blessed and holy is he, the next verse, who has part in the first resurrection. over whom the second, and before it said that, it said this is the second death. You're not going to die, but you're not going to die one time and that's it. You're going to have a second death. First death is the death of your mortal body. When your spirit leaves, you're dead. But where your spirit spends eternity after that judgment is called the second death. Amen. Well, you're listening to me. Revelation 20, you can read it for homework. You say, Brother Brennan, I haven't heard that. I'm very sorry you haven't. That's why God changed my message today, so you could hear it. You need to have some information before you decide. Amen. A decision that has to do with where you spend eternity. You need the right information. And you need it from God's Word. Well, Brother Venable, I've heard this all my life. Brother Venable, I believe that spirit hovers above the body for 7 days. Well, I believe that if you just be good and do good, I believe. You know, if you were in, where is he? There he is. I was looking for you up here. You got tired of getting a shower, didn't you? Move further to the back. What if he gave a math exam? And the answer is 352. When you do the math, the answer, the only right answer is 352. And some kid comes up with that attitude and said, I know that's what you've taught us and I know that's what the numbers say. But I believe it's 400. Does that believing it's 400 make it 400? Is there some other answer than the right answer? No, there isn't. There's only one right answer. Oh, but Mike is such a teddy bear. My wife is even laughing back in there. I heard her say, ha, ha, ha. He's such a pushover. He'll give me a passing grade with the wrong answer. No, he won't. In fact, you know what? You know why? Well, why won't God? Well, because this is, you know why God doesn't? You know why? You know why that he's going to deal with you according to what you know? Because this is an open book test. There's no excuse for not getting the right answer. It's an open book test. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why you're getting the Word of God today. That's why some of your friends won't come here to church. They don't want the Word of God. That's why there is a church that won't give them what I'm giving you this morning. But I care about where you spend eternity. I want to see you in heaven. And before you get to heaven, I want to see blessings chasing you. Not because you're after them, but because you're after God and the blessings are after you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. People are chasing blessings. You get right with God, blessings will chase you. The blessing of healing. When I was dying of cancer, there are people who would give all the money in the world to that curly-haired, used to be curly-haired, blue-eyed little girl, 5 years old, that's dying of cancer. The treatments have taken her hair away. She's laying up there in the hospital. I went to visit a little girl like that in the hospital. Her mom and daddy had sold their home. Their insurance had paid out. Sold their home. Sold their car. And they had one bicycle between them. And in the morning, the dad would catch a ride to work. And mama would take that bicycle and come and sit with her little girl all day long. And in the evening, when his dad got home, Mom would ride the bicycle home, cook supper, he'd eat supper, he'd get on that same bicycle, and he would ride it to that hospital to sit with his little girl, because she had about 6 to 8 weeks to live. That family is not interested in the silver and gold and the things of this world. They loved that daughter too much. They would give this whole world and everything in it, amen, to see her get up out of that bed, take her home, hold her in their arms, and love her, and not see her with IVs and oxygen, amen. And as the little girls called it in one commercial, those back stitches where they're trying to put the bone marrow in. Listen, 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 how we need a revival, how we need to get the kingdom in view again, how we need to not follow Jesus for the wrong reasons, how we need to warn the ungodly. Amen. And how we need preachers in the pulpit that care about the immortal souls of the people in the audience. You know who supports this? The world doesn't. They see it as a scam and a sham. You know who supports it? Do you know who pours the money in by the barrelful? People who name the name of Jesus. You'll find those same people at the polls at election. If somebody promises them more money, they'll vote for that person, no matter how many things God calls an abomination that they are for and promoting. They'll say that don't matter. If it wasn't for Christians voting the wrong way at the polls. Brother Vember, you getting political? No, I'm staying spiritual. This, if you get this right spiritually, it's got to affect everything in your life. Can you say amen? If I know someone's wrong, I bid them Godspeed. The Bible said I partake of their sin. So if you've got sin here, I'm not going to say God bless you. I'm going to say God convict you. God draw you to Christ. God cause something to happen in your life to wake you up out of this deathly sleep that you're in. God open your blind eyes and let you see. Amen. So Jesus said, I counsel you buy me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich in white raiment that you may be clothed so the shame of your nakedness not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. The next verse, say, boy, that's tough. It is. It's because he loved them so much. And they were blinded and deceived. The next verse said, as many as I love, I rebuke. I rebuke. And I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He wanted to restore them. He wanted to give them the real deal, an eternity with him. But he's knocking on the door of a church that was looked upon as the most prosperous, blessed church in all of Asia. Where he, with that message of repentance, was not welcome. There are churches right now, if Christ came in a business suit, Christ came in a business suit to that church and said, I've come to bring a message from God. He would be asked, what is the message? The message is, repent. You're blind, poor, miserable, naked. You know what that pastor would say? You're not coming in my pulpit. Because my people are beleaguered and beat down and my people need blessing. And I'm not going to talk about sin or salvation to any large degree. We might throw that in because you've got to have it somewhere. But the main thing I'm going to talk about is how to be wealthy and how to have all of that that produces the pride of man. Pride goeth before destruction. Haughty spirit before a fall. It is the sin that made an angel a devil. So today we are in a church age that is tainted by the world. You fish in a... How big is the boat you take out now? 17-foot boat. If it's just me and you, we'd be pretty good all right, wouldn't we? We've got room to fish and not knock each other down if we catch something. That boat was made for the water. The boat in the water is no problem because the boat was designed for the water. But what would happen, Terry, if we're out in the middle of a big lake and it's a mile to shore and the boat starts taking on water? What? Is it possible we might want to get the water out of the boat? Hope your bilge pump would work. Because you got to do something about it when you get water in the boat. The church in the world, we're supposed to be here to be a light for Jesus Christ. The world in the church will sink the boat. We were not designed for that. Can you say amen? So there's a call of God and it's clarion and it's clear. Come out from among them, my people. Come on. Come out from among them, my people, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will what? I will receive you then. You've got access to me. When you don't try to blend the kingdom with the world, you can come into my throne room. You can come into my presence. Grace and mercy is waiting for you there. Touch not the unclean thing. Filthy lucre. You want God's favor just so you can get richer, so you can get more independent from Him and be filled with pride and go your own way and never repent of your sin. And no one ever confronts you with your sin. And what will be the end of it? Where will you spend eternity? I'm getting near a retirement age, not because 70 is a magic number. Brother Taylor can tell you, things change. Things change. I do not expect to be applauded for what I'm preaching. I expect to be respected for telling you the truth. Amen. If you can find in the Bible where it's not the truth, bring your Bible and we'll talk about it. But if it's in the Word of God, and the Word of God is true, and God is going to judge us according to what is written, then we need to hear everything that's written. Can you say amen? Oh, I want to see you in heaven. But before I see you in heaven, I want to see you with peace in your heart, joy in your soul. I want to see you getting up in the morning and knowing that God's blessings are legitimately upon your life. And I want to see you with an expectation of good no matter what in the world is going on. Literally. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to see you kick over every idol. Hallelujah. Make Jesus the Lord of everything. Come out of Satan's prison house and live in victory. Amen. And lead somebody else to Jesus. Hallelujah. While every head is bowed just for a few moments. Thank you, Heavenly Father. These are the last of the last days. Ezekiel 38 says that God is going to draw those nations and directly north of Israel, Gog and Magog, is Soviet Russia, with Syria and Persia. Ancient Persia is now modern day Iran and Iraq. What's happening now was prophesied in your Bible, Ezekiel 38. How many want to hear what's happening from the prophetic word to know what's coming, to know that God is in control? Everything is coming to that prophetic fruition. It's coming to a head. It's coming not just to a boiling point, but to a breaking point. And as long as the church is going after the gold and the silver of this world and not after God's kingdom, as long there will be no power. They better entertain you because you have no other motive to be there. You have no other reason to be there but to be entertained. To be entertained. So the entertainment had better be strong. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, over whom the second death has no power. I don't know what that's worth to you, but it's worth the whole world to me. Take this whole world and give me Jesus. I don't have to be a Lazarus to go to heaven, but I have to understand the difference that a man at his worst with salvation is better off than a man at his best without it. So we will never negotiate with the devil. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord God is here today. God is calling. God is calling. There'll never be a better time than today to accept Christ as your Savior. There'll never be a better place than right here where the Holy Spirit is moving, where God is reverenced, His Word is preached, to make a decision for Jesus Christ. I love that song that says the old account was settled long ago. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If there's a so we started up on the interstate, and guess what we met coming out the in-ramp? We met a car with a lady in it coming out the in-ramp of the interstate system. If we had been further along and she had been coming at great speed, where could we go but to the Lord? One way or the other. We could have been gone. Just come into church this morning without God's intervention. But if we were gone, you would know exactly where we were. Can you say, man, make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. If you're knowing where you're going, it makes all the difference in the world. You can live in the face of all of these things that could happen and yet put your trust in God, that when it's time to go, I'm going and nothing will stop me. But until it's time to go, I'm staying and nothing can make me go before my time. Hallelujah. Psalm 73, we didn't get to read. If I read it, can I preface it for you? My feet were well nigh. This is Asaph, not David. Asaph wrote a whole bunch of them. He was a troubled guy. He had a lot of indecision. He said, my feet were well nigh gone. They were almost slipped when I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. Then he says why he envied them. They're not in trouble like other men. They're not. If you've got the money to get you a high-priced lawyer, you can get out of a lot of stuff that poor soul that's been given an overloaded lawyer that ain't making much money to defend. Don't tell me justice is blind. Money tips the scale. Tips the scale. They're haughty. They have more than their heart could wish for. Look at their mansion, their cars. Here I am following God and I'm persecuted, but look what they got. And he said, it almost took me from the perspective that I needed spiritually. And he said, it got in my heart and my feet were almost gone. They were well nigh slipped when I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked, until I went into the temple to worship. When he got in there, he got his eyes back on God and eternal things. And he said, oh God, forgive me. I must have bent as a beast before you. Surely you set them in the slippery places. They're in the bad place. The ones I was envying are in the terrible place. Because they don't mind God. They don't put God first. They don't care about God because they got riches and wealth and fame and fortune. He said, I'd rather be me persecuted and know God. He said, when I went in the temple, I understood their end. Not what's happening in this little interim between now and eternity, but what's going to happen when we all draw our last breath. Amen. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over whom the second death hath no power. Hallelujah. Anyone here today say, Pastor, I need Christ as my Savior. I want to accept him now. I want to make that commitment right here, right now, this very day. Anyone in this room, I need to know Christ as my Savior.